Evolving font styles to represent different film genres. Gozi Agbo, a Hawaii Brothers company. Wrinkled flesh wrapped around letters. The logo for Carver. Red and blue lights create the Roman numeral for nine. Nine stories. Swirling coloured lights form the logo for Screen Australia. Glinting letters beside a V-shaped symbol. Film Victoria, Australia. Agbo Films and Screen Australia present. In association with Film Victoria. A Carver Films and Nine Stories production. Christmas lights decorating a mantle slowly blink on and off. The flames of a handful of candles flicker as an overflowing bathtub spills water onto a tiled floor. The tap continues pouring water as the soapy liquid on the floor spreads from the room. Water runs down carpeted stairs to a ground floor where it pools at the corner of a doorway. An old woman is standing in the doorway with the water accumulating by her feet. She's naked, save for a towel she's clutching to her chest. The woman staring at a Christmas tree, its lights slowly turning on and off in a dark living room. She turns away nervously before a thin silhouette rises beside the Christmas tree. Relic. A white car's driving down a road, flanked on either side by tall pine trees.
Okay, hi, it's Mike Adler here from Creswick Police. Look, I'm just calling about your mum. The neighbours haven't seen her in a few days. I've been by her house without much luck. I was just wondering if you'd heard from her. Could you give me a call when you can? Thanks.
Kay arrives at her mother's house, which sits nestled amongst trees at the end of a winding driveway. Kay and her daughter Sam walk up to the front door.
Gran?
Sam peers through a stained glass window in the door. At the back of the house, Sam removes a board blocking a pet door and crawls through to gain entry.
Gran?
Sam notices several small racks used in making intricately carved candles. She unlocks the door for her mum. Kay and Sam walk through the house together.
Gran?
In the kitchen, Kay notices a bowl full of rotten fruit.
Mum?
Sam heads upstairs.
Gran?
She reaches for the bedroom door.
Wait. Just wait out here.
Kay steps past Sam and opens the door. She hesitantly enters the room. On the bed, beneath a yellow blanket, is a hefty bundle. Kay edges closer.
Mum?
The bundle is unmoving. She pulls back the blanket to reveal an empty bed with sheets bunched up. On an adjacent table is a note that says, "Take pills," along with several prescription bottles.
You should set up in my old room.
Kay stares at an armchair parked in front of a window.
What? Kay, what?
Nothing. Call straight away if she...
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Sam glances at the armchair, which has a cream-coloured blanket draped over it.
Does your mum still drive?
Sometimes, but her car's still at the house.
And any medical problems?
No. She's in her 80s. She forgets things. She managed to flood the house last Christmas.
When was the last time you spoke to her?
It's been a while.
Could you be more specific? Well, in situations like this, we need to come up with a timeline. When Alex called last night, he said he hadn't noticed your mum leave the house for a few days, like maybe a week. So if we can figure out who the last person was to speak to her, we can figure out exactly who.
Yeah, sorry. It's been a few weeks. Well, it's been crazy, you know how it is.
Constable Adler is making notes.
What did you talk about?
Nothing, really. Normal stuff.
She didn't mention anything about a holiday, appointment out of town, visiting friends?
No. Nothing like that.
We'll organise the overall search strategy.
Okay.
Did you bring a recent photo?
Yeah. This was taken late last year.
A photo of Kay's mum, Edna. At Edna's house, Sam forces her way into a dark room, the door obstructed by a heavy box. The room is crowded with a mountain of boxes and hoarded junk.
Great.
Wrapped in a blanket for warmth, Sam sits on an old bed beside a lamp. She picks up a frame containing a photo of people gathered around a picnic table. She looks across the room to the source of the sound. Sam gets up and discards her blanket, walking around the small mountain of boxes to a second door tucked away in the corner of the room. The door has a deadbolt on it, but isn't locked. She steps into a walk-in wardrobe and grabs a bundle of blankets. She stops in front of a rack of clothes. The plastic bag protecting her coat is crinkling, as if the coat itself were inhaling and exhaling. Sam shoves the coat aside to find the wall behind it is stained with spots of black mould. She reaches in to brush her fingers against the strange mould. Later that night, Kay's driven back to the house from the police station. She washes up in the kitchen while Sam's eating pizza in the adjoining dining room.
She's been putting food out for Chester. Is your boss okay with you taking time off?
Yeah. Oh, no. I stopped working at the gallery.
Since when?
A while.
What are you doing for money?
I got some decent chips back at the bar.
Still planning on going back to uni?
I don't know, okay.
So what, you're just going to work in a bar for the rest of your life?
Yeah, maybe.
Kay averts her gaze.
I'm glad you're here. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sam chews while staring at her mum.
I think you're doing it.
Later that night, Kay's sitting in Edna's bedroom when a light goes on outside. She rushes to the window. The light is coming from downstairs, illuminating the lawn beside the house. It switches off. The next day, searching the misty forest around the house. The police and civilian volunteers march in a line among the tall pine trees.
We'll regroup first thing tomorrow.
We should check the trail by some villagers like.
From staring into the forest late in the wet afternoon to evening at Edna's house. Kay sets down the vacuum cleaner to turn the lone armchair away from the window so it faces the TV. The chair's legs settle into deeply ingrained grooves in the carpet. Sam removes a makeshift deadbolt lock, a wooden spoon, to open the back door. Outside on the porch, she's smoking a joint. She sits up.
Gran?
A young man with a torch.
Jamie?
Hi, Sam.
What are you up to?
Patrolling.
Okay.
Did you find her yet?
No, not yet. When was the last time you saw her?
Not for ages. Dad doesn't like me coming over anymore.
Why's that?
She brings the joint to her lips.
Smells weird. Can I have a go? I'm allowed.
You're 18. When did that happen?
He takes a drag.
Jamie, I really needed that. I might go inside. It's freezing. Do you want to come in? Make your Milo?
He regards the house for a moment.
Nah. That's okay.
Her smile fades. Inside, Kay is wiping down a record player, opera glasses, and a piano. Kay sits down at the piano. She glances at open sheet music and takes out her reading glasses. Upstairs, a dark figure peers around the hallway corner.
It's D after that bit, not E.
How do you know?
Gran taught me.
Of course you did. I could never get the curl of the fingers right. I think she gave up on me at a certain point.
Are these locks new too?
Kay nods.
I think she was scared.
Scared of what?
She called me a few weeks ago. She thought someone was coming into the house.
What? Why?
Doors were left open, lights were left on. She did. Armchair had shifted.
Well, did you tell the police?
She forgets things. You know what she's like. It was her.
Well, why didn't you call me? I could have driven up here. I mean, what if she's...
Kay looks up at her daughter. Sam leaves, going upstairs to Edna's bedroom. She crosses the room, pausing briefly to look at Edna's dresser. A woolly cardigan is draped across a chair beside the bed. Sam puts it on, wrapping the material tightly around her and breathing in its scent. Sam relaxes her arms, slipping her hands into the cardigan's pockets. She finds a crumpled note in one pocket that says, "Don't follow it."
What was that? Kay?
Dunno.
Kay gets up from the piano and walks over to the mantel. She slides an urn to the side to expose a section of wall marred by water damage and graying mould. She reaches for the mould. Kay leans in close to the wall. She recoils.
What is that?
Another larger patch of mould reaches from their eye level all the way up to the ceiling. They stare at it before glancing nervously at each other. Kay's walking through a forest, following a distant dark figure. She turns around and sees a tiny cabin amongst the woods. She walks towards it, the wooden door with inlaid stained glass window opening invitingly. Inside, a scrawny figure sits on a bed facing a wall. The figure, a man with a thinning white beard, is rocking back and forth. On the ground between the wall and the bed is a rotting, blackened corpse. Black mould is covering the floor and wall. From outside, Kay can see the old man sitting by the window, and he turns to look outside. The corpse opens its eyes, and the man falls to the ground. Kay wakes up. She peers out the window at the lawn beside the house.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Gotta sleep.
Kay joins Sam on the couch, sharing a blanket. Later in the night, while Kay and Sam are sleeping. Brushes the hair from Kay's forehead. A wet morning with rain pattering down on the cover of an in-ground pool. Kay rubs her hand over her face and glances at Sam, who's still asleep on the couch. Kay stands, looking towards the kitchen. An old woman is standing by the sink, her back to Kay. The woman slowly turns around, flashing an expression of confusion at Kay.
Where have you been?
Edna blinks, dipping a tea bag into a mug, and walks to the island bench. Kay glances down at her mother's dirty bare feet.
Tea?
You okay?
One sugar, right?
Gran!
Later, Kay's on the phone.
About half an hour ago. No, she's not hurt. She's, as far as I can tell, she won't tell me anything. Whenever I ask, she just changes the subject as like nothing happened, like she hasn't been gone for 3 days. Yeah, I don't want to push her. I just hope she's okay. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, I will. Bye.
In Edna's bedroom with a doctor.
Any chest pain?
No.
Breathlessness? Dysuria?
Dysuria?
Does it hurt to pee?
Oh. No, neither of those things.
Would you mind taking a slow walk to your daughter and back? Edna, when's your birthday?
April 10th.
And how about your granddaughters?
March 3rd.
Good.
See? This one worries about me.
May I? Do you know how you got this bruise?
The doctor's inspecting Edna's chest.
I must have knocked it. Clumsy.
Just to be safe, I'm going to recommend that you not be by yourself for the next couple
of
weeks.
Is that really necessary?
Sorry, Edna. I insist.
House arrest it is, then.
Edna glares at Kay. In the living room, Edna's carving her candle while Sam watches TV. Edna pauses to flex her hand in pain. As Edna picks up the knife again, she meets Sam's gaze.
Well, tell them it's a family emergency. Yeah, I know that, but he's perfectly capable. A week, maybe two. Or what do you expect? Yeah, fine, email it.
Kay, loading a washing machine, hesitates.
I've got to go, Luz.
She's holding a nightgown which has a thick blood stain on it. Kay takes it out to the living room, where Edna's still working on her candle.
What's that?
Kay impatiently crosses her arms.
Do you know where you were, Mum?
Where?
No, I'm asking you.
I suppose I went out.
Out where?
If I'd known you'd call the police, I would have stayed home.
There's blood on your nightgown. Do you need help?
Edna finally looks up.
With what?
There are poster notes everywhere, Mum.
It's my house. I can decorate it however I want.
Just tell me what happened.
Look, can we just take it easy today? Graham must be exhausted.
Later that night, Edna's sitting at her dresser, which is adorned with photos of her family and her late husband. Edna, dazed, stares into the mirror. She opens the front of her nightgown. The bruise, a deep dark black, has expanded to the size of her palm, directly in the centre of her chest. She scratches at it.
Graham?
Edna covers herself.
Oh. Got your tea. What service?
Sorry about Mum. She was worried about you. We all were.
Edna smiles at Sam, then reaches for her dresser drawer. She hands a ring box to Sam.
I had to stop wearing it. They say you shrink with age, but my fingers just keep getting fatter.
It's lovely.
It's yours.
Gran, I can't take this.
You might need it one day. And your mother's already had a go.
Kay's in her old bedroom, working on a laptop.
Wow, he cleaned up.
Sam looks at a box of files.
Please leave it, I've got a system.
What are you doing?
Work.
On the other side of the mountain of boxes, Sam finds an old sketchbook.
Look at this.
A drawing of a child labelled K, My Little Terror.
Guess I was. Wow.
A pine forest.
He could draw. Yeah.
God, I haven't seen this for years.
She stops on a sketch of the cabin from her dream.
Wait, what's this?
Oh, that was on the property when your grandparents inherited it. My great-grandfather lived there.
By himself?
Yeah, there were all these stories. Apparently his mind wasn't all there in the end, and nobody knew how bad it was. I don't think he was cared for like he should have been, you know.
I was happy to see it go. Mum used to threaten to lock me in it when I was being a brat.
Sam examines the drawing.
Is that the same window as the one on the door downstairs?
Yeah, when they tore it down, they saved some of the windows and used them to build into this place.
A design diagram of the stained glass window.
Can you keep an eye on it for a few hours tomorrow?
Where are you going?
Back to Melbourne.
You're going back to work?
No, I've booked a tour of a retirement place. You can't put Gran in a home. You heard her before. She doesn't know where she was. I don't think she can remember.
That's not what I heard.
She can't live on her own anymore, Sam.
Why can't she move in with you?
Because that's not practical.
There's plenty of room at your place.
No, it's not about room. She has to be watched.
Well, isn't that how it works? Your mum changes your nappies, then you change hers.
Kay runs a hand through her hair before noticing the ring on Sam's finger.
You need to be on the same side as me for this.
Does Gran even get a say?
They look at one another.
This is what's best for Gran.
Kay rolls over in bed. She closes her eyes. Then opens them again. Kay starts walking down the stairs and stops on the landing. She leans forward to peer into the entrance hall. Edna's standing alone, walking slowly towards the door.
Mum?
There's a figure behind Kay. Edna brushes her long hair aside to reveal her face.
Are you all right?
Are you leaving?
No, Mum.
That's good.
Later, Edna's sitting up in bed.
Will you be all right now?
Edna looks past Kay to the doorway. Kay looks behind her, then back at her mother.
Mum?
Edna's gaze drifts across the room.
Mum, what is it?
It's here. Under the bed.
No, there's nothing under the bed, Mum.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Edna looks at Kay, troubled.
Will you check for me?
Kay tilts her head to the side.
Please.
See? Nothing.
You didn't look.
Kay kneels down on the floor. She lifts up the edge of the blanket and peers down underneath the bed. There's several discarded items and clothing below the bed. Kay leans in as a shadowy silhouette stirs and a book drops on the floor.
Ow! Shit! Oh!
Kay hit her head on the edge of the bed.
You did that on purpose.
Did what?
You dropped that on purpose.
Why would I do that?
I don't know.
Did you hit you?
Yes.
The next morning, Kay's in the bathroom using an eyelash curler. She gingerly touches the spot on her head where she'd hit herself. She drives into the city.
Now, you mentioned your mother has some cognitive impairment.
Yeah, I don't really know. She forgets things. She's started wandering.
Well, the staff here are on call 24/7. Think of it as independent living with the edges taken off.
An old man using a walker stares at Kay as she walks past.
Just in here. This side of the building has ocean views. Handrails in every room, high toilet seat, mobility aids if your mother needs help getting in and out of bed.
No, she's fine with that kind of stuff. She's fit, she's active. I'm not even sure she's ready for a place like this.
Well, it's five-star living. Then there's the lifestyle and therapy programs, disability support, computer classes. Your mum will make friends in no time. The rec room is decked out and everything.
Kay stares out the window at the ocean just beyond the urban area surrounding the nursing home. Later, she's sitting in her car, sobbing. At Edna's house, curtains billow softly in a breeze as Sam parks her car and carries a bag of groceries inside. She hears the music and smiles.
I would change November showers to red roses in June.
Edna's dancing alone in the living room, arms wrapped around herself. She spots Sam.
Dance with me, Kimmy.
Sorry?
Dance with me, Sammy. Yes, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Do you know the cha-cha?
Absolutely not.
Time for a lesson. 1, 2, 3, and... 1, 2, 3, and... 1, 2, 3, and... It's the cha-cha.
Okay.
And underarm for the lady.
Oh, the lady.
And again. And one more for Sammy.
This one always gets me.
Sam sitting beneath the mantle.
Do you ever get lonely out here by yourself? Jamie doesn't come around here much anymore, does he?
Who?
Jamie from next door.
Oh. The retard.
Sam looks away.
How would you feel about me moving to Creswick?
Why would you want to do that?
To be closer to you? I could help you out, cook, clean, stuff like that.
Was this your idea or your mother's?
Mine.
Where would you live?
Here in the house, with you.
I don't think so. I'm not a project, okay?
I'm
I'm Sam, Gran.
I know who you are.
Well, wouldn't it be better than moving into an old folks home? That's where Mum is right now, checking out a place in Melbourne. Here, let me help.
Sam helps button Edna's cardigan.
What's this?
What?
What are you doing with this?
What do you mean?
This is mine.
Yeah, Gran, you gave
it to
me.
You're trying to steal from me. You're trying to
rob me. No, remember when you...
Give it back. Give it back.
Gran.
Sam falls.
Fuck. Take it.
She slams the ring on the ground and walks away, clutching her hurt finger. A figure peers through the frosted window of the laundry. Sam's in the bath. There are labels on various items assigning instructions such as flush and turn off tap. Sam rubs at her eyes, then looks at the purple bruise around her finger, inflicted by her grandmother. Sam looks to the doorway, noticing a shadow in the gap below the door. The shadow moves closer to the door.
Gran?
The shadow finally departs. Kay's slicing vegetables for dinner while Sam's peeling a potato and watching Edna carving a candle. Kay throws refuse in the bin.
Are these my school reports?
You're throwing these out? I didn't even know you'd kept them.
Well, I have to make room, don't I?
Room for what, Mum?
This one's moving in.
Kay looks between the two of them.
No, she's not. I think you're confused, Mum.
I'm not sure why you think it's your decision. How is Melbourne?
She meets Edna's glare. The front porch light turns on later that night, illuminating the stained glass window. Sam peers through a window, but sees only the lawn. She turns her attention to the door, noticing that a black mold is gathering around the stained glass. The light turns off, leaving her in darkness. Sam heads upstairs, where Edna is in front of the walk-in wardrobe, whistling.
Everything all right, Gran?
I don't like this place.
Is that why you installed the lock?
I thought this was where it got in.
Who?
Whoever was coming into the house. Since your grandfather passed, this house seems unfamiliar, bigger, somehow. This house is the only thing left. All our memories.
Edna stares into the wardrobe, and Sam follows her gaze.
I'm glad you're moving in, Sammy.
Edna puts her hands on Sam's shoulders and then walks away. Sam locks the wardrobe. Kay's brushing her teeth, and Sam joins her at the sink.
Are you sure?
Sam opens her mouth to speak, but Edna joins them in the bathroom. Kay walks past her daughter. Sam looks into the mirror to see Edna staring at her. Later, lying awake on the couch. Sam steps out into the hallway, cautiously walking towards the laundry room and the source of the rattling. She opens the door. The washing machine is rocking back and forth. Its lid is open and there are no clothes inside. Sam returns to the doorway, staring down the hall. A closet door slowly opens behind her.
Gran?
She looks back, and the machine's lid has slammed shut. Kay dreams of the cabin again and the open door, but this time Edna has replaced the old man in the window. Inside, Edna's sitting on the edge of the bed. The black mould has spread further, climbing the walls. Edna falls off the bed, as the bearded man had done. On the floor, where once there was a corpse, is instead the mould silhouette of a person. The black substance, all over the walls and ceiling, begins to cake over the stained glass window in the front door, blocking out the light. Just as the woman in the window, Edna, turns to look out of the cabin, Kay wakes up. Kay leaves her bedroom and walks out to the hall.
Mum?
The bathroom door partly closes, casting a shadow on the opposite wall. Kay heads towards it to investigate.
Everything all right in there, Mum?
The door is ajar, enough for Kay to see the bathroom sink inside. She turns on the light, but the room is empty. The next day, Kay's out on the porch folding laundry. Edna's alone in her bedroom, carving candles.
I'm not being ridiculous, I can tell. Sometimes they look at me and I don't think it's really them. They look like Cam and Sammy, but it's not them.
Sam's listening.
They're pretending. You know what I think? I think they're just waiting for the day. I think they're hoping I'll go to sleep and I'll never wake up. Then they'll dump me in the ground to rot.
I can see you.
Who are you talking to?
Edna turns around to look at Sam in the doorway. Sam cautiously walks across the room to Edna. As she gets closer, Sam notices Edna's fingernails are cut and bloody, the candle a misshapen mess.
Gran, you're bleeding.
I can do it myself.
You've hurt yourself
just
now.
No!
Get out! Stop! Get out of here! Get out! Get out! It's my room! It's my house! Get out!
Sam races downstairs. She leaves the house, walking to the neighbour's property.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Jamie, how are you?
I'm okay.
Is your dad home?
Dad!
Alex, what happened between Jamie and Gran?
They were playing hide and seek, and it was Jamie's turn to hide. And he hid, I guess, in a cupboard with a lock on it. Well, she came along and locked the closet and left him there. I think she forgot they were playing. He was trapped in that cupboard for hours. When he didn't come home, I went over there to check on him, and Edna said she hadn't seen him. But I could hear him screaming from upstairs. He had paint under his fingernails just from scratching the door. So we've been keeping our distance a bit.
Yeah. No, of course. I get it. I'm really sorry Jamie had to go through that.
Okay.
At the house, Kay's writing a shopping list, including handrails, an emergency alarm, safety switches, and a shower chair. She glances to the window and notices that Edna's walking away from the house into the forest with something clutched to her chest. Kay follows, passing a disused old tennis court and tool shed. She finally spots her mother walking out of sight behind a large tree. When Kay rounds the tree, Edna is tearing up a photo and shoving it into her mouth.
Mum! Mum, stop! Stop!
She reaches into Edna's mouth.
Ow! Jesus! What are you doing, Mum? No! No!
Give it back!
No, Mum! No!
Tell your mother, Kay!
Kay relents, and Edna marches away with the photo album that Kay had tried to wrestle out of her hands. Kay crouches down to pick up several discarded photos, including leftovers of one that Edna had been eating. It's covered in a viscous black liquid. Kay wipes the liquid on her pants leg. Deeper in the forest, with the album open on photos of Edna with her husband and Kay with Sam as a child, Edna is on her hands and knees, digging into the dirt.
I think these might be safe out here. Do you think that's right?
Safe from what, Mum?
I don't know. I knew it was a bad idea. I hate that window. I can't bear to look at it every time I go through that door. There's such a coldness in the house. That's what I'm like now. That's all I do. I keep thinking, I mean, maybe it's just waiting for me. Maybe it's just been waiting till I was weak enough, alone enough.
She buries the album.
I wish I could bury myself so it can't get at me.
I just want to go home. I just wish I could turn around and come back.
I'm losing everything, Kay.
No, it's all right, you know. I'm here. I'm here to help you, Mum. Come home with me. To Melbourne, will you move into my place, Mum? Sorry, I wasn't here more. Please let me help you.
Edna slowly nods.
Yeah? Yeah.
Her eyes slick with tears, Edna looks around, confused.
Where's everyone?
Your photo album. It's here. It's right here.
Where's everyone?
They're here. I'm here.
Kay hugs her mother.
Mom. Oh, leave.
Fingers still bloody, Edna wraps her arms around Kay. At the house, Sam opens the wardrobe. She walks in and closes the door enough to see the scratch marks by the handle, the proof of Jamie's ordeal. She walks deeper into the wardrobe, where items are stacked to the ceiling on either side. To her left, she notices a darkness behind one stack of items. She lifts her mobile phone, using its torch function to illuminate a previously unnoticed hallway. Kay and Edna return home.
I'll get dinner started. What do you feel like?
Thanks, dear.
Edna hobbles away.
Sam, we're back!
Sam dismantles the obstructing pile of items and enters the strange hallway. She finds a light switch. It brightens the end of the hallway, revealing that it continues to the right. She turns the corner, where the hallway continues, narrowed by stacks of boxes on either side. The closest box has a handwritten note taped to it, which Sam reads. My mother has green eyes. Continuing on, she finds a second note. My name is Edna. Something shifts behind Sam, drawing her attention briefly before she walks further down the hall. Guided by her phone, she reaches for the wall, which is stained in places by black mould. The hallway reaches an intersection, with two diverging paths and a door. Sam takes the left-hand passage. Another passage breaks off from the hall, to the left. The passage there comes to a pointed end, with two doors facing each other, and black mould smeared across the walls. Sam looks to her right, and a mirrored passage presents itself. A pointed end and two doors. She retreats the way she came, down the hallway with boxes. When Sam turns left to return to the wardrobe, she instead finds herself back at the two diverging passages. She runs ahead, disoriented, taking the left path. It ends at a frosted glass door. She opens the door to find a small staircase, tarred in mould and culminating at a wall. She backs away. She looks at her phone, but it has no signal. Kay's empty bedroom. That night.
You have called 042.
Well, her stuff's still here.
Edna's sedately sitting at the dinner table with a meal in front of her.
You should try to eat something, Mum.
Edna's staring into the distance.
Mum.
Kay's mother slowly turns to stare at her intensely. They hold each other's gaze. Kay finally breaks the deadlock, glancing at Edna's trembling hand. Edna too looks down, and the movement ceases. Edna once again glares at her daughter before getting up. Edna shuffles to the doorway, then stops. Urine runs down Edna's leg.
Oh, Jesus. Mum. Mum, come on.
Later, Edna is sitting in the bath, in a room lit only by candles. The blackness has spread from her chest to her upper arms. Kay is about to mop up the floor, but pauses and crouches down. There's a black inkiness spreading through the urine. Edna, sitting in the bathtub, scratches deep into her chest, where the blackened flesh is scabbed. Sam wanders, lost, around a corner in the strange hallway. She finds a series of notes on a mouldy wall. The handwriting becomes barely legible, reading, "Where are you?" and "The walls are closing in." Sam shines her light lower. The next notes say, "It's here. Get out and get rid of them." She drops to the ground, hugging her knees to her chest. She gets back up and runs, trying to retrace her route back to the wardrobe.
Mum? Mum? Mum?
Sam pauses, realizing she's found a different passage, one that is receding. At the end of the passage is a table and an overturned vase coated in black mould. The passage turns right, the low ceiling forcing Sam to hunch down. She scrambles forward on her hands and knees and turns another corner. Kay stands on a stool, looking through a window above the bathroom door. She can see Edna in the tub, stabbing at her chest with her carving knife.
Oh, Jesus! Mum! Mum, what are you doing, Mum? Stop it! Mum!
Water seeps out under the door. Edna, her eyes black and wearing a nightgown, walks away, a knife in her hand. The water reaches an outlet, shorting power to the house. Kay grabs a candle, seeking the source of the noise.
Mum?
Edna's in Kay's bedroom, rummaging through the mountain of boxes.
Mum, Mum, stop it. Mum!
Edna throws glass, then overturns a table. Kay follows the ruckus towards the open wardrobe and the passage discovered by Sam. Her candle blinks out just as she finds Edna. Kay turns on a torch and hesitantly returns to the passage. Sam, her face dirtied, turns another corner, the ceiling even lower. The next corner, she stops. The passage ahead narrows impossibly, a dead end. She turns back, but finds the way she had come ends at a wall. She tries for the narrowed section, but panics and retreats. When she turns back again, the wall behind is even closer. She crawls into the dark, narrow recess and shines the light behind her. A black substance drips onto her hand and she reaches up at a spot where the mould is thick and soupy. She kicks desperately, breaking a hole through the ceiling. She climbs up to an equally narrow section. She crawls through the ceiling, only to emerge sideways from a wall in a new passage. She falls onto the ground of the new passage. Kay ventures into the secret hallway, finding the section with boxes and the first notes. She nervously advances, the obstructing boxes casting shadows from her torch. When she reaches the passageway that ends at two doors, she sees Edna crouching with her back to Kay.
Mum?
Edna freezes.
Mum, please, can we go back now?
Edna has a knife in her cheek.
Ah! Oh!
She stands, but her leg bone snaps.
I don't know you.
Kay flees. The living room mantel is dripping with water, while Sam tries opening any door she comes across. She climbs the short staircase, running her phone's torch over the mouldy wall. She holds her hand against the wall, then looks at a discarded box of junk. Sam rummages through another box, finally locating something she can use, a solid metal pipe. She begins to slam it against the mouldy wall, breaking through. When the hole is big enough, she leans through and looks around, finding herself inside a crawl space. She renews her effort until the pipe smashes a hole above the living room mantel. She peers through the hole, recognizing the living room, then reaches her arm through. Sam returns to the passageway, closer to Kay's voice. She picks up her phone and the pipe and ventures down the hall, raising the improvised weapon defensively.
Mum!
Sam turns a corner to find a new space, a staircase leading up, identical to the one inside Edna's house. Kay by the hand, leading her back to the hole in the mantel. Sam keeps battering her way through.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Hold that. Hold it.
Sam aims the torch at the darkened hallway behind them. An arm emerges into the hall as Edna drags herself towards them.
Oh my God.
It's okay, Sam.
Edna's legs break each time she tries to stand. Edna crawls up the stairs. Sam climbs through the hall, landing on the coffee table. Kay tries to follow. Edna yanks Kay back.
Get me out of here! Pull me!
Sam pulls Kay through, and Edna crawls after her. Edna pins Kay down. Kay throws her mother back, and Edna instead redirects to Sam, grabbing hold of her. Kay grabs the pipe. Edna grabs at Kay and is struck again, knocked into the armchair. The Edna creature twists and contorts on the floor. Sam finds her feet. She grabs Kay by the arm and they head for the door. Kay stops in the doorway, looking back at the broken creature on the floor. A note's lying on the carpet beside Edna that says, "I am loved."
Mum?
Sam's standing at the front door, beside the stained glass window. When Kay finally leaves the living room, Sam walks outside.
Come on.
Kay stops, looking at the window's pattern edged in mould.
Mum, what is it?
I can't leave her.
What?
Kay returns to the living room.
Mum, please let this go. Mum.
She edges closer to Edna's body. Kay takes off her overshirt and wraps Edna up in it, then carries her upstairs. Kay gently places Edna on her bed. They sit together, mother and daughter, with Kay stroking Edna's thin, wispy grey hair. The movement draws Kay's eyes to Edna's back, where her flesh is cracked and exposed, revealing a black layer beneath. Kay pulls down Edna's nightgown, then runs her fingers over her mother's dry, rubbery flesh. The flesh tears away easily, like a dead carapace. Piece by piece, Kay peels the skin from Edna's back. She rubs a hand over the black surface beneath. When her hand reaches Edna's scalp, the hair comes loose effortlessly. Kay digs her fingers into scalp, exposing more of the black underneath. She stands up in front of her mother and sets to work peeling Edna's dead face away. When there is nothing left of the old body, when Edna is only a black, hairless form, Kay leans forward to gingerly kiss her mother on the top of the head. Edna weakly raises her head, meeting Kay's eyes. Sam's in the doorway. Sam cautiously steps into the bedroom. Kay gently helps Edna lay on her side. She looks down, realizing her mother is holding her hand. Kay lies down behind Edna, a reassuring hand on her mother's shoulder. Sam hesitantly crosses the room and gets on the bed as well, taking her place at the end of the line of bodies behind Kay. Kay tiredly closes her eyes. Sam is about to follow her mother's lead when something catches her eye. Sam reaches forward. Peeking out from the neck of Kay's shirt is the edge of a black, moldy mark on her flesh. Audio description by Red Bee Media for Create Media Access. Directed by Natalie Erica James. Written by Natalie Erica James and Christian White. Produced by Anna McLeish and Sarah Shaw, Jake Gyllenhaal and Reva Marker. Executive producers Joe Russo, Anthony Russo, Mike LaRocca, Todd McCuras, Wang Jongjun, Wang Zhonglei, Hu Junyi. Cinematographer Charlie Saroff. Production designer Stephen Jones Evans, APDG. Editors, Denise Haratsis, Sean Lahiff. Sound designer, Robert McKenzie. Music by Brian Reitzel. Costume designer, Louise McCarthy. Makeup and hair designer, Angela Conti. Casting, Avi Kaufman, CSA. Australian casting, Alison Meadows, Mullinars Consultants. Cast in order of appearance. Edna, Robin Nevin. Kay, Emily Mortimer. Sam, Bella Heathcote. Constable Mike Adler. Steve Rogers. Jamie, Chris Bunton. Dr. Stanley, Catherine Glavicich. Alex, Jeremy Stanford. Developed and produced by Carver. Produced by Nine Stories. Financed in association with Fulcrum Media Finance and Media Super. Production investment by Agbo Films. Developed, produced and filmed in Victoria, Australia, with the assistance of Victoria State Government, Film Victoria, Australia. Principal Development and Production Investor, Australian Government, Screen Australia. Copyright 2019, Carver Films Proprietary Limited and Screen Australia.